You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
Those of you who read the church newsletter will see the little blurb that I put about today's service. It's based on a sentence that I came across. I may get older, but I'll never grow up. Reflections on commitment, conformity, and identity. When I proposed to Barbara almost 17 years ago, we totaled 118 years between us. So neither of us were spring chickens. But my proposal included the grand promise, marry me and I'll show you the world. During the summit, recognizable, okay. Sometimes fridge magnets and postcards are the only things we can afford to buy for family gifts as a way of sharing our holidays, along with the tea towels and mugs, which take up even more precious luggage space, and sometimes buy one on subsequent visits, from practical ones with thermometers to serious remembrance tokens of a beautiful locale to artistic gems. These magnets are meant to stick to the outside door of one's fridge, providing a bit of color and perhaps a memory jolt. Two fridge magnets in particular stick in my mind, even though we couldn't lay our hands on either one anymore. Barbara's favorite says, if you can put one man on the moon, why can't you put them all there? A crypto-feminist sitting in the second row there. Another one we've seen said, I may get older, but I'll never grow up. And I realized at once when I saw that one had a fair measure of part of me. As an aside, the Cliffords have their fridge and freezer in a wooden kitchen cast of the kitchen quite well, but isn't very practical for decoration with fridge magnets. So ours have to go on the casing of our boiler, considerably smaller and less conveniently placed than the fridge, or on one side of a steel filing cabinet lodged in a spare room. In the industrialized West, we live in societies enamored of youth. The goal of maintaining youthful vigor and body, even as the years accumulate, has always appealed to some. But our 21st century urban culture has elevated this effort to a holy discipline. This is not, unfortunately, the same as treating our young people well. Poor and very corrupted economic levers, dead-end jobs, the ever-increasing gap between the wealthy and the average, job threats from robots, a surveillance society like none in history, lack of good role models, broken families, and uncommitted relationships, and provision of addictions from drugs to sugar to electronic devices. All these combine to make a world that really isn't all that friendly to the young people who live around us. A world that largely demotivates quality human interaction in spite of modern technological advances. A world that is creating a mess that youth are expected to be able to sort out someday. So why is this Peter Pan theme serious enough for reflection as well as whimsical enough to capture one's imagination? Peter Pan, the boy who never grew up. Peter Pan's refusal to grow up was a statement of rebellion that she will challenge when she gets old, and perhaps might start to challenge before then. Many of these do not sound so shocking now as they would have then, but she lived another 57 years, and I hope she got to put some of her intentions into practice. Peter Pan's refusal to grow up is considered a refusal to commit to the psychological elements that form identity. Growing up involves adolescent trials of differing lifestyles and making choices that shape who one is and will become. Warning presents us with someone who regrets the conventionality of her choices or commitments over the years. This is, notice, in distinction to Peter Pan, who is incapable of making commitments and therefore does not grow up, does not develop an adult identity. And just to make clear, the appeal of this fridge mag not to be a Peter Pan, but a strong desire to always remain open to new insights. So to paraphrase the message of the fridge magnet, I will grow older, but I refuse to become old. I refuse to become conventional. I refuse to allow my individuality and my spirit to stagnate. I refuse to be afraid of being different. This is unfortunately a bit long for a fridge magnet text, or I might arrange for a few to be made. My favorite theologian, the American Unitarian Henry Nelson Wyman, expressed this as the need we know, the deepest wisdom, the most sensitive insights, the greatest empathy with our world and its inhabitants. On the other hand, an even deeper commitment to true creative reality, which may, in fact, will someday show us the incompleteness of our first commitments, and therefore the need to change them. The essays of Ralph Waldo Emerson, and to a lesser extent, his poems, made quite an impression on me in my teenage years, and I took to heart his warnings about the dangers of conventionality, the dangers of coasting along without being in touch with oneself and one's experiences. Emerson presented a vision of reality where our individualism is not isolated, but linked to the structure of the universe itself. As with modern Unitarianism, he presented love and thinking as twin values. And my favorite source of reflective poetry, Khalil Gibran, and reason. But of course, we all know that try as we might, whether taking University of the Third Age classes or correspondence courses in new subjects or joining an art or yoga or swimming group, as our bodies get older, we do slow down. It is harder to think creatively. We do tend to become more conventional. Our concerns struggle to reach outside a shrinking circle with us in the center. In short, we ossify. Now, each of us will do this at our own personal speed. And new technology, it does become harder to stay in touch with the changing world. And our horizon inevitably shrinks us when we say, I've done my best with my life forces, and now it's time to rest and reflect. But before that time comes, what can we do to slow the express train down? Well, I have three suggestions for you. One, don't accept isolation and lack of communication. This is sometimes hard to do, as our cohorts in family and friendships die off. Many people find themselves isolated in today's society. And one way of staying in touch is to consciously befriend such people yourself. There may be local community care groups that are looking for volunteers, people. And if you are lonely, be one of the befrienders. Second suggestion, grandchildren. Get them or borrow them. Help them grow up knowing something of you and your world. Learn about their world, which is really different to ours. Share their nursery rhymes, their tele programs, their computer games, their swimming lessons and music lessons and school assemblies. That will help to slow the expression. Family, friends, standing commitments, tasks. Some call this an attempt at meditation. But the crucial thing is not what it is called, but making a commitment to break out of the box, to stand and stare, as our next hymn puts it. And when that time does arrive, when an honest look at oneself indicates that we have done what we can, that we have really mucked up the world of those who will follow us, that ossification has in fact got a grip, and new or creative thoughts have all but dried up, what then? Shift gears. That is, turn the world over to the following generation, who will make their own mistakes while trying to deal with our many mistakes. This is often hard, because we have done things, some things, for so long that these roles have become almost part of our identity. And giving up the roles can seem like losing our identity. But it need not be so. Whether the setting is family, work, social or sport activities, or even charitable trusteeship, we need to develop a new sense of how we fit in. A sense that doesn't just continue repeating the patterns of activities that we are used to. But just as in our formative years of adolescence, we make decisions that clarify who we are, what direction we will follow in life, what roles suit us in this endeavor. So in this stage of life, we need to see our personal value apart from roles. We need to shift from the power of doing to the power of being. And actually, that is one of the thrusts of our religious community. A place where we can come to celebrate and share our individuality and that of others. Where we recognize that we have various roles, but we have a core value and existence not tied to these roles. A place of support and healing as we deal with life's wounds. A community of values that points us towards deeper values, but more importantly, points us to the underlying source of values that flows through our lives and through the world. A religious community calls us to a relationship with reality and with other people that goes beyond our roles and our productive sides and goes to our core identity. Religion, the binding together through common commitment, can develop our awareness, appreciation, and experience of love's true power. In our Unitarian religious communities, we link the powers of love and truth in a beautiful unity that helps to shape and guide our lives, celebrating our uniqueness while we join others in community. It is not an easy process and requires commitment, but it does prepare us for the time when we need to hand the torch on. Amen.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianessay@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Essay Unitarians.